The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing our show. On the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's Monday, the 28th of October, 2019. Hope you had a great weekend. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and you're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7. We've got a very impressive archive of years of programs at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. If there's something that you would like to add to our conversation, we would welcome you. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring a different team of commentators. This week, Bruce Ash is seated to my right. He's in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And Aaron Rottenstein is with us. Aaron's the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, and they do a great job with all of, not just framing, they've got some great custom frame mirrors. Mo will make sure everything is, well, if you've got something that you want placed in a certain position in the home, Mo will be glad to come out and take care of it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They've got a really good mid-century show right now in the gallery. Some really nice work from post-World War II up to about 60, maybe 65. Aaron, how are you? It's always good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. We're doing great. You know, it's finally cooling off here in Tucson. We were able to get the kids outside. We went to Catalina State Park yesterday and did the loop with the kids and the dog. And it's just a good time to be a Tucsonan.
You've got a fine millennial family. And millennials love the mid-century stuff that's going on over at Moe's. I think Bruce Ash, our generation, well, we kind of grew up with some of that stuff, so it doesn't feel quite as exotic to us, does it?
No, not quite. I understand that.
Yeah.
You didn't ask, but I had a great weekend.
No, I'm going to ask.
Oh, good.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was great.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked.
All right.
We had Ed Ackerley on the radio show on Saturday afternoon. We had one of the spokespersons for the No on 205 proposition, and it was a great show. It had several callers and a lot of interest.
What's your take on 205, Aaron? Do you think it's got a shot?
I don't think it's going to pass. I think the more interesting numbers, just kind of as a political observer, are going to be around 35%. If it can get over that, I think that's a pretty clear signal for at least where city voting Democrats are, but I think it's going to have a really tough time getting to 50. Bruce, do you think anything different?
Well, actually, I told somebody just on Friday afternoon that I think this person who's running for an office that would involve Pima County and Cochise County, that is a proposition election that we all should be watching. The level of support, whether it's higher or lower, I think is going to determine the political landscape partially going into the 2020 election. It really seems as though this group went way too far, and they say that the consequences don't really matter and that all of these things can be worked out. But I think most everybody, from the police chief to the mayor to the members of the city council and most of the members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors and lots of others, think that this is not a very good thing just from a Tucson survivability standpoint with respect to funding, both state and federal. But I think more importantly, and this is a thing that concerns me, we saw last week in Culiacan a very, very dangerous battle that took place between police and government troops and the Mexican cartels, where the force that the cartels had was overwhelming. They had El Chapo's son ready to take him into custody, and they were beaten back. And I just worry. I mean, we're in a corridor, and if Tucson, it's one thing to be a welcoming city; it's another thing to where there's really a sanctuary, a safe haven that exists in a unlawful sort of a way.
Yeah, we both want to live in a safe city. There are people in this city right now that don't feel safe. They don't feel that they can go to a shelter or have police intervene in domestic violence incidents because of their immigration status. We've got to do something to, you know, solve that problem. It doesn't look like 205 is going to be what the city decides its solution is, but we got to keep talking about this. We got to keep finding ways to make this a safe city for everybody.
And look, Aaron, I hate to deflect anything to the federal government. But the federal government, again, both parties have failed miserably because there are ways to take care, to resolve the DACA issue. There are ways to regularize folks who are here. There are ways, particularly for the DACA kids, to create a clear path to citizenship. And as a result of doing nothing, and nobody's doing anything really on either side of the Congress right now, we don't have any answers that have been solved. And I really think that has to be, because this is a kind of a social fabric question and something that millions and millions of Americans really believe strongly in. But I think whatever side you happen to be on, I think everybody agrees there has to be a resolution. And we need it now.
I'll tell you, this thing in California, Aaron, is so scary. We have now these rolling blackouts, more than a million people being affected, with PG&E figuring their only opportunity to perhaps avert a disaster is to pull everybody's power down. But now there's some questions about this Kincade fire, whether it really started on another transmission line that was not part of the power that was pulled down. I think both political parties are to blame on this thing.
Yeah, so there are a few issues in play. And just before we went on the air, we were talking, and I tend to agree with Bruce. There's been real, criminal inaction through administrations on both sides, through Congresses commanded by both sides in terms of our forestry policies. That goes, in my mind, hand in hand with the criminal inaction from both parties and administrations in both parties on climate change as well. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not just overgrown forests that are, contributing to some of these really extreme weather and, fire instances that we're seeing in California. There are some other issues at play. And, I think it's going to be a theme for the next three or four elections. We've got to be more serious with ourselves. We have to have politicians that are telling us the honest truth. And whether it's forestry or climate change, we need action, because this is November at the end of this week. That's not fire season. This is the second year in a row we're going to be having these mass evacuations and just devastating fires in California in November.
Mm. Well, the September, October, and even into early November is typically Santa Ana time in Southern California. So, these things have happened for a long time. The Santa Ana winds have been around forever. The thing, though, that I think we should just say for our listeners' benefit, Rick Renzi, who represented the first district here in Arizona, championed a safe forest bill back in, I think, 2003 that passed. It was a hard-fought bill to get passed. And like so many other things that Congress does, they pass something and then failed to fund it. And the funding failed under a Republican administration first, and it's continued to properly fund it now under two successive administrations. And part of us who believe in a great environment, it's hard to think that part of that is to remove forestation from places and to sort of make it look clean, but that's really what we need to do in order to keep these forests safe. It's just way, way overgrown.
All right. Before we go on to our top issue, of course, the killing of the founder of ISIS by American commandos over the weekend. Why don't we take the break before we even begin to get into that topic? So we'll hear from Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein after we take the break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check it out. Also, their website, moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Buckmaster broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Bruce Ash is here and Aaron Rottenstein. And Bruce, what were you sharing with us during the break about Green Things and coming up on Christmas season?
So, I mean, these guys, I think, grow more poinsettias than any place else in Arizona. I mean, they're greenhouse, hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds.
You know, greenhouse after greenhouse after greenhouse. It is a huge operation. Most of us who go there on a regular basis, we're impressed enough with what we see on the retail side. Mm-hmm. But when you really stroll through the different greenhouses and stuff, you see what they're doing on a wholesale basis, not just for the poinsettias, but for all kinds of stuff that they're growing here, you know, from little twigs and seeds and stuff. They're doing a great job. Those guys are awesome.
And Aaron, you were just over there, weren't you?
Yeah, we kill a lot of plants, so I guess we're repeat customers for them. But great location. We'll go after soccer games, pick up something, and work with the kids in the afternoon to put it in a pot.
The killing of the founder and leader of the Islamic State by American commandos operating in Syria over the weekend. Aaron and Bruce, it's certainly going to weaken ISIS. But Aaron, I think we need to be very cautious here that ISIS has not been defeated.
Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, this is a good thing. And we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude as we do every day to the, you know, men and women serving in our armed forces who carry out these type of attacks, and the intelligence community who works really, really hard and some painstakingly deep minutia in order to uncover the evidence that we need to, you know, take care of these sorts of things. But you're absolutely right. You know, one, ISIS has really been reinvigorated over the last couple of weeks as Americans have pulled out, and there's some consternation on the Turkish Kurd border in Syria. It's a different organization than Al-Qaeda was, and I think a lot of times our temptation is to, you know, really kind of anchor everything in Al-Qaeda. ISIS has never been as linear and structured as Al-Qaeda was, with a very strong leader. And in fact, ISIS is actually a breakoff of Al-Qaeda because the leaders didn't get along. We need to have a really strong presence in Syria right now to make sure that ISIS doesn't regroup, to make sure that ISIS, now that some of the personal vendettas against, you know, specific Al-Qaeda leaders are gone, doesn't reconnect with Al-Qaeda and become an even stronger, more geographically diverse terrorist organization. But that, all of that said, this was a great weekend for, people that don't want terrorists to, you know, have power. And I think it's worth spending a couple of minutes just saying that as well.
Bruce?
Baghdadi was an evil man. The Washington Post referred to him this morning as an astute religious scholar. I can't imagine any news organization who would use that as a descriptive for a guy who oversaw the rape of women from unrelated sects to his, and who maimed and murdered and carried out the sort of executions that have happened tens or hundreds of thousands of times. I agree with Aaron, and I think everybody is concerned about what's happening in Syria and Iraq and that whole region right now. I would differ with you, Aaron. ISIS may be in some fashion reinvigorated, but they're on the run because they are no friends of the Turks and they're no friends of the Syrians. And frankly, I respect anybody who feels differently, but it's time that our European allies play a role in what goes on in Syria and in that area. We've shouldered way, way too much of the effort and the risk. I think the Russians, who now have been thought of as having this great foothold, they're going to be just as sorry going there as they were in Afghanistan some 30-plus years ago. This is a place where countries, powerful countries like us and Russia, there's all kinds of problems that exist from those interventions.
Yeah, I don't know that I trust the French to conduct military operations that we think are strategically important. And, there's real unanimity.
Unless it's the French Foreign Legionnaires. They're pretty darn tough.
Well, no, but they do have a very remarkable special forces.
The Congress has been nearly unanimous that they feel the United States should remain present in Syria, and they're informed by military leaders who have served presidents on both sides of the aisle that agree the same. It seems the only person with any sort of lever in foreign policy that disagrees with them is Donald Trump.
Aaron, I wanted to honor your request to talk for a few moments about the impeachment fight. And in your mind, you wrote me an email saying you think a development was the worst news that President Trump has gotten in the impeachment fight. You want to share with us your thought, please?
You know, it was a really interesting week, and I think Lindsey Graham's, show pony bill in the Senate was a really kind of interesting marker for this. It took about a day and a half for him to get the rest of the Senate Republicans on board, but when he released the bill, I think it was seven or nine, weren't signed on to it, which was, the first time really any Republicans other than Mitt Romney or the dozens of House members that are retiring have really even dipped a toe in the water of wanting to see this thing through. And that's a radical change from where we were just a couple of weeks ago. the Ukraine investigation is really, I believe, only 4 or 5 weeks old at this point. But when it started, Mitch McConnell declared this was going to be the fastest impeachment trial in history, that, you know, we'd be, you know, done with this the second that the House, you know, turned it over to us. And in fact, we've started to see, as, you know, more and more of these interviews have been conducted, as more and more, you know, exploratory evidence has come out, we're starting to see Republicans showing just the faintest reticence in terms of, you know, the blind support of President Trump. And I think that's a really consequential moment in this impeachment debate.
If this was a serious undertaking, and if it was a legal undertaking, there would have been a vote by the membership in the House to conduct an impeachment investigation. The testimony that's being given is being given in a soundproof skiff in the basement of Congress, and you know, we have seen the concerns not just of Republicans but Democrats also. Who literally, you know, they're all going to be part of this vote at some point in time, presumably. Nobody knows what's going on, and there's selected leaks. We've become a Congress that is dominated by leak presentations that, you know, oftentimes take things out of context and don't offer any of the other testimony. What probably is the most interesting development, I think, happened on Thursday or Friday last week when the John Durham investigative team announced that they would be switching their investigation from an administrative investigation to a criminal investigation. There will be probably a grand jury impaneled, and there's been an awful lot of work in real, true investigative work, not political investigative work, that is going on and has been going on now for the last several months. John Durham is a serious investigator, prosecutor. He has worked for both Republicans as well as Democrats. He is not a political appointee. He's a lifelong Department of Justice professional.
Yeah, I'm not sure that using the Justice Department to harass your political adversaries is a really good way to convince people that you weren't using foreign aid as a carrot to harass your political adversaries. But, you know, Bruce touched on a lot of things that we think we need to go through. We're dealing with very highly classified information here. And of course, the first place that that should be discovered is in a classified facility like they have in Congress. He said that there is, you know, agreement with both Democrats and Republicans that things aren't going well. You got to ask the American people this, because we've got over 50% in basically every poll that's come out over the last 3 weeks that say he should be impeached, which what that means, let's take a step back and figure out what that really means. What that means is, if on a party line vote, the House voted to impeach Donald Trump today, that would be the most popular party line vote that Congress has taken in the last 35 years.
No, actually, the most nonpartisan party line vote was taken. Let me make my point. Over 300 House members voted against opening a formal investigation for impeachment, and that was just a few months ago. There are lots of Democrats who are running in districts that Donald Trump won decisively in 2016 who don't want this to happen, and we'll see what happens. I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere.
Let me see if I can work this in, because I found it very interesting. Anxious Democratic establishment asks, is there anybody else? And I guess the New York Times talked to like a half dozen Democratic big donors who gathered in Manhattan recently, and they were kind of saying to one another, is there anybody else? Aaron Rottenstein, is there anybody else?
No, I think the field that we've got is too big by a magnitude of probably 4 at this point. And so I think, you know, the developments in terms of what the field looks like is going to be a winnowing and not really an expanding. I get where people are coming from, because this election is so very important, and most Americans know that we absolutely need to beat Donald Trump. I I'm actually quite pleased with the candidates we've got. I think we've got a very diverse slate. I think some of the folks that were early front runners are appearing to be not quite as exciting to the, you know, broader Democratic population.
Joe Biden,
but also Bernie Sanders, you know.
Right, Bill.
And I don't remember if we talked about this on the air or not, but it must have been a year ago at this point. I was saying I didn't think either one of them were going to win a state in the primary.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And so what's going on, I think, is just kind of a natural part of the process. You know, let's not forget... most people in America still don't think Donald Trump is electable, and he's been the president of the United States for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't surprise me that party leaders want to make sure that somebody that they've worked with for a very long time remains in power. We saw the exact same thing on the Republican side in 2016, where they hopscotched from a bunch of folks that really didn't take hold, whether it was Jeb or Marco Rubio or Scott Walker.
None of them got really any traction.
None of them got any traction whatsoever.
The difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party process is that the Democratic Party establishment can, almost at the very end of the process, put their thumb on the scales, as they did in 2016 when they nominated Hillary Clinton. In fact, their thumb was on the scale probably as early as 2014. And I know that directly from Jim Roosevelt, who was the chairman of the Democrat Party Rules Committee, which you know I chaired the Republican side.
Okay.
And that is a fundamental difference. And Aaron, I don't understand
how you guys are really putting your thumb on the scales saying that you're not going to have primaries, and instead you're going to let party leaders
select who gets the delegates at the convention.
All right, Bruce Ash, Aaron Rottenstein, got to leave it right there because we have a hard break with CBS Network Radio News coming up. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Moe, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. During the political face-off, we heard really nice testimonial about Green Things from my guest, Bruce Ash, loves Green Things, so did Aaron Rottenstein. I think everybody loves Green Things when you go over there on their 13-acre site. Who wouldn't love it? The way they've expanded with the Zocalo Village, with all that great... Ramon Valdez with me in studio. Ramon, you remember when Zocalo Villa, Zocalo was over by Country Club and Broadway, and now they're part of the Green Things family. So it's a really nice destination over there by the Brandy Fenton Park.
As a matter of fact, we went during the spring to buy our spring plants, and it's just a wonderful experience. I even have classes over at the Green Things as well.
A lot of classes.
On all kinds of crafts. Yeah. It's a very fun experience, whether you're a kid or an adult or a grandparent. It's a really great place to go.
And those thousands of poinsettias are getting ready. Boy, they should be just about ready here in another couple of weeks. They grow those to... 12-year process, round the clock process to get those all ready. Ramon Valdez with us, Pima County Supervisor, just back from a trip to Denver. Luckily, he had better success, New York, not Denver. He had better success getting back than some of the team members that were on the trip. Flying can be a challenge these days, Ramon.
Oh, absolutely. In our case, we had success, but the two flights immediately prior to us, and we left early in the morning on Friday, had been canceled, so that they were actually offering even $800 if you would agree to fly later.
$800?
And when we got into Dallas-Fort Worth, we actually had to run from one airport to the, or from one terminal of Dallas-Fort Worth to the other. Because we had our departure had been delayed by almost an hour. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we had a group that was in front of the airplane who actually told the staff of the airplane that we were on our way, and they had to make a couple checks that took a little extra time.
What was this trip about?
You know, this was a Sun Corridor economic development trip. It was really, as you recall, we've talked about economic development and just the fact that it is a regional and team effort. We had almost 30 people from the private sector, the public sector, the nonprofit sector, and the governmental sector, obviously, when I said public, that went and fanned out throughout New York City to really meet with site selectors. These are the people that the companies go to when they decide to either expand or relocate. And we actually hosted them through Sun Corridor about 2 years ago at their convention.
That was at the Marriott, right?
Yeah,
Star
exactly.
Pass. That was a big deal because, as you say, the site selectors are really the people who are going to make the suggestion about Tucson.
Right.
Yeah.
They're the ones that the companies go to. Interestingly enough, we met with a number of them, including one, and we asked them, well, what are you looking for when you're looking at locations? And it was an interesting first answer. Because most people will tell you that they were looking for tax incentives or tax breaks. No, they're looking for a labor force, a workforce, a skilled labor force in the area or industry in which the company that's going to be relocating or expanding is going, so that they actually have that talent to pull from.
So that was at the top of their list?
That was number one. That was number one, Bill. We met with a number of site selectors, one of which... was with Pricewaterhouse Cooper before, did some time actually at Amazon with their expansions. So he was the head of that department. And one of the things he actually talked about is it's moving away from what incentives can you offer to, again, what is the quality of life? What do you have the workforce that the industry needs? And frankly, instead of asking for tax incentives as was the past, he really talked about how going forward, companies are asking for something that they can give back to the community right away. So instead of taking a tax break that's just for them, a tax break then makes it possible for them to build a park or do more workforce investment in other sectors or something where they're using their coming not for themselves, but really on magnifying the effect of them being there as opposed to taking away, because sometimes different communities have actually given so much by way of incentive that when you sum it all up, it's a net loss as opposed to a sum gain.
People were so critical that of the county getting with that worldview deal, and then Goldwater Institute sued Pima County. Whatever happened to that?
Well, the current phase of it is last week the Arizona Court of Appeals denied their claim because they appealed the lower court's decision. And right now, every claim they've made has been declined, has been ruled on and declined. There's, I believe, the only thing they've got left is the because this one was on contracts. And obviously, part of the issue is the contract has already been executed. Worldview has been in that location for a number of years at this point. And they didn't ask for injunctive release either. But removing all technicalities of the five original claims that they made, and you need to know that a bipartisan group of business folks who had previously donated to Goldwater went up to Goldwater to their meeting and their executives when this whole first started and said, no, this is really good for our region. Don't do this. And I'll keep the names nameless, but it was a bipartisan coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And they went forward anyway. Right now, the only issue that remains as a possible claim in lower court, I believe, is the gift clause. And we are going to be submitting a request for summary judgment on that claim. And once that is done, if the lower court rules, that will be it. So the fat lady will have sung, as the saying goes.
So Pima County awarding that design and allowing the facility to be built by Worldview was a good deal, in your opinion?
Well, remember, it was built by the taxpayers, and we as taxpayers own it. Well, think about this. I mean, we've been through it before. In the 20 years, it took us about $13 million to build a facility. In the 20 years that the lease is for, taxpayers will have made somewhere in the vicinity of $23 million. So let's say it cost us $13. We're making $23. So taxpayers are making what? What is that? I'm bad at math. No, I'm kidding. $10 million.
Don't ask me. I can hardly keep my checkbook.
We're looking right now, all the job goals that were placed as part of the contract with Worldview, which we require,
right,
have been exceeded.
Mm-hmm.
What their employees are making is also exceeded the minimum of the contract. And so they are certainly meeting the terms of where we were asking them to be. As I told you before, when there was an economic analysis done, and I don't remember the exact amount, I don't remember if it was $3.2 or $3.6 billion economic impact for the region over that 20-year period that was done by an economic development firm out of Phoenix. So let's see. It's employing people at salaries that are higher than our average with benefits. It's done more of that than they were required to do at this point in time in their phasing. It's going to have an over $3 billion economic impact, and taxpayers are making money on the real estate. What is there more to say?
We're going to take our break right here. 10:30, The Voice, Trusted News Talk. We're with Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We're on 1030 The Voice, have been since the first week in January when the Buckmaster show launched. So it's been a while here on the radio with the radio project. John Couch on the other side of the glass. John, pull up Silver City for me. Let's check out what's going on over with their temperature over there. I bet it's really, really nice over in Silver City, which is only a three-hour drive from Tucson to that beautiful part of the Southwest. Right now in Tucson, we're probably at about what? We've got a really nice day here.
We do.
Ramon Valdez with me in studio. What's the current temperature, Ramon, here in town?
It's a balmy 71 degrees.
71. Okay. Yeah, look at that. So I'm guessing over in Silver City it's 10 degrees cooler. This is the time of year that you want to get over there to that area because the high country, this is when those aspens are turning. And it's just a great time to get away in the high country. It's only, again, a three-hour drive. There you go. 61 degrees and sunny in Silver City during the noon hour. So that's a great time of year in Silver City. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. You will find all sorts of ideas, recreation ideas, and some really nice places to stay. We've so pleased to have them as one of our sponsors, and we send a lot of our listeners over to that area. Ramon Valdez, Pima County Supervisor, is with me on our Friday Focus interview. Ramon, while you were in New York City on that trip with the economic developers talking to site selectors, we had the sheriff, Mark Napier, with me in studio. Dan Shear was here from the Green Valley News, and the news had just kind of broken that the Pima County Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Pima County Corrections Officers Association had come out with a no-confidence vote in the sheriff's leadership. Those two organizations very upset that the sheriff had not fully funded a step plan for salaries.
But as the sheriff pointed out, he'd love to give the deputies more money, but that's really been a function of you and your colleagues on the board.
No, that's absolutely right. It's a budgetary issue. It's actually they filed a lawsuit on the very matter where I believe both the board and the sheriff are named. So it's an ongoing court case at this point.
But you think you and your colleagues still have confidence in the sheriff?
You know what? We've had our set of agreements. We've had our set of disagreements. But overall, Mark's been a good man.
What's the deal with this new local drug overdose study? It's going to be a panel in Pima County that's going to look at every local drug overdose death in Pima County. What's that about?
If you recall, about 6 months ago, the governor made an emergency declaration on the opioid overdoses. And in response to that, one of the things we did is we created this task force. And what they are tasked to do, all pun intended, is to look at both the trends of what's happening relative to opioid use and drug abuse as well as overdose, and then try to examine whether or not there's something that we can do proactively to prevent some of those things. And you just mentioned the sheriff and just a few moments ago. One of the things that working with a community group from my side of the aisle, he actually agreed. Now the deputies carry Narcan. Which
Narcan.
Obviously, when someone's experiencing an overdose, by merely administering, in most cases, you bring them back. Thankfully, there's something that can be done in that case, but it has to be administered early enough in the process. So they're looking right now at all those deaths to see whether or not, again, there's something that proactively we can be doing as a community or as a state to try and prevent these overdoses from happening.
Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry has recommended that Ramon, you and your colleagues approve the purchase of an Eastside Animal Hospital that could be used as a second Pima Animal Care Center, Pet Support Center, like an auxiliary satellite center. I think this is a great idea myself because where the center is located right now, PACC, which is a great facility, they're really becoming nationally known for what they're doing out there. But it's not convenient for people in the foothills, Central and Eastern Foothills, and the Far East Side of the Valley.
Right, and that's what we've seen is that both the adoption of animals as well as being able to provide services to the East Side and the Northeast Side and the Southeast Side hasn't been as great as some of the other areas of town. So what we're using is some of the funds that were left over from the 2015 Animal Care Bond to purchase this facility that actually is formerly the Tucson Small Animal Hospital at 22 South Kolb Road to really become that center and to provide different services, including enforcement, so that we have a site from which enforcement is dispatched on the east side of our community, but also to have the low-cost spay and neuter clinics, the rabies shots clinics, and on and on, all those services, or many of those services at least, that are currently provided at the Animal Care Center or at some of the satellite sites when we have those satellite sites themselves.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of services that people use. You know, the microchipping could be done, the low-cost vaccinations, just kind of a general pet support. When is this going to be coming up before the board?
It'll be on the board agenda next Tuesday, November 5th. The meeting begins at 9 a.m., if someone wants to come in and talk, they can talk. I don't remember if this is a public hearing or not, but if it isn't, then obviously the call to the audience does take place at the beginning of the meeting where they can speak there as well.
Well, I think it's a win-win for animal advocates, animal welfare advocates, of which there are so many in this community. I mean, look how the turnaround at Pima Animal Care. Look what's happened there.
Well,
I mean, the leadership of Kristen and others have just been amazing.
Yeah, no, it truly has because obviously when we originally started this turnaround, we had many animals we actually had to put down at this point. I believe last month, the adoption rate of animals that come into animal care was between 91 and 92%, with many of those animals being adopted as well as then placed in foster homes so that they can be adopted at a slower rate, or some of the rescue organizations we have in the region as well.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that things are going for the county right now financially?
You know what? I will tell you that we're doing well at this point. What we've because of our budgeting, the way we do our budgeting, we tend to be very, very conservative. So where we might expect, say, a growth in the assessed value of Pima County of, say, maybe 4-4.5%, we'll budget at 3 or 3.5%. So that way, if there are any errors, it'll actually be in the taxpayers' benefit, never to their detriment. Our rainy day fund is fully funded. We obviously have heard some speculation about an upcoming course correction in terms of the real estate market. But again, we don't know what's going to happen. It's economics is a really funny thing. It's some people think it's a science. Those who have lived it think it's an art.
Mm-hmm. And what about roads?
Well, we are one of the other items on the agenda, I believe, for the 5th is going to be some additional monies for roads. As a matter of fact, the PTAC, which is the Pima County Transportation Advisory Committee, has, through a subcommittee, I believe, considered how they're going to do it, because typically what they've been doing is we've got an issue. If we take everybody in just as a region, the problem is probably at around $1.2 billion. We are throwing, just for the unincorporated area, we are throwing at it $10 million in the regular budget. We're looking at an additional amount, I believe, between an additional $10 to $15 million into that. But even at that, it's between $20 and $25 million on a $1 billion issue. So what we've been doing, based on the recommendation of the PTAC, is that we divide it up into 5, and each district has the same amount, and so we can get something done in everybody's district as well.
Are you happy with the way things are going over at the juvenile facility, which is being used? A portion that was not being used for juvenile corrections is now being housed for migrants.
Casa Alitas. Yes, as a matter of fact, I was watching Channel 4, I don't remember if it was yesterday or today, where they actually did a story on it. Most people that I think have commented to me on the story, they said, it doesn't look like a juvenile detention. and in truth, yeah, it hasn't been used in that purpose since, I believe, January of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had committed to was really, it may have served one purpose before, but why not retask it? Retask it so it's something positive as opposed to something negative, considering what juvenile and all the staff and judges and everybody over there has been successfully able to do through the programs they put into place and reduce that population of juvenile, which is a wonderful thing for our community. And kudos and congratulations to everybody who had a part to play in that. But as a result, we didn't need that part of the center. And now it's actually a very colorful, very vibrant, very lively, very happy place. And the visitors in our community, again, are staying 2 to 3 days normally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've got a place that they're happy to be in.
Mm-hmm.
They're smiling. They're talking. This is if you take a look at what situations they came from, this is actually a stark improvement.
All right, Ramon Valdez, Pima County Supervisor, thank you. Good catching up with you. Thank you, Ramon.
Likewise, Bill. Thank you for the invitation.
Ramon Valdez here on the Buckmaster Show. I want to thank John Couch. Thanks, John. Good job today. At 10:30, The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be with you tomorrow, as usual, 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. And as usual, a very packed show full of content. Until then, Bill Buckmaster wishing you a great afternoon and evening.